You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
All right, welcome back to Walao, the Golo Sessions with Otto and JC. I'm your host, Otto, and right now on call with me is my amazing friend, AJ, who is calling us all the way from Melbourne. AJ, how are you doing tonight?
Hello. I am good. It's pretty chilly here in Melbourne.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's chilly here as well here in Tamaki Makaurau.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're chillier than you guys, actually. You guys don't know meaning of cold.
I didn't realize it was a competition.
No, it's probably... No, but... no, I'm kidding. It's probably the same, actually. I don't know what temperature it is right now, but yeah, it's probably just as chilly.
I'm not checking.
All right. So to start things off, introduce yourself to us.
Yeah.
Who is AJ, also known as Erica?
Hi, I am Erica. That's spelled A-E-R-I-Q-A-H. Just a fancy way to spell Erica. I'm a Singaporean singer-songwriter. I make sort of indie folk with a little bit of inspiration from soul and musical theater. I'm currently based in Melbourne. I'm studying and I've been based in Singapore the past few years, but I'm just trying to get my foot in the scene here in Melbourne. Yeah.
So, yeah, AJ, so that's actually the next thing I wanted to talk to you about. You know, you've been in Melbourne for the past year, you know, making music, making friends. You know, how's that been? You know, have you enjoyed your time in Melbourne so far?
I've been here just a little more than half a year. Actually, it feels a lot longer than that, though. I don't know. It's been interesting because I am studying music right now, and I am way older than most of my course mates. And so there's a little bit of a disconnect where I feel like not exactly on the same page as my so-called peers. So like I'm like 25 and most of them are about like 18-19, like fresh out of high school, and I have been pursuing music and but I do have some friends my age in the industry, and I have been like slowly and surely meeting people and making friends and building community, which has been nice. I've done a few gigs here so far. I don't know, interesting. Just all around interesting. It's just a bit different.
Yeah, I mean, has it been easy making that jump from the scene in Singapore to Melbourne and finding your way there?
I think it has been easier because I knew people already in the scene here. I think if I was completely starting from scratch, it would be a lot scarier and a lot harder to get in. It's actually not been that scary because I have these years of like performing experience. So it's not, at least for my own craft, I know that I'm confident in it and I'm not new to my own art, and so I can confidently like perform. But it's like the shifts in like the audiences and the people I'm like playing to are like different as well. Yeah.
So this might be a bit of an obvious question, but what are some of the differences you've noticed working as a musician and singer-songwriter in Melbourne versus back in Singapore?
I do think that because I'm new to Melbourne, I'm kind of starting from scratch, so I am like accepting like lower pay. I'm being pitched lower pay and I'm just accepting it because I'm like, I guess I'm putting in my hours here. I think it's interesting, like one realization that I've had recently, with the difference with Singapore and Melbourne in regards to like music and art, is that they're almost like two different sides of a coin, where in Singapore there are so few places where you can find music, and so when there is that chance to find music or perform music, the audiences are a lot more focused. Whereas here, you can find music everywhere, like wherever you, like whatever street you go down, like, well, okay, that's an exaggeration, but you can find music everywhere. And a lot of the times it's background music is what I have noticed. Like my most recent gig, it was maybe the event space just wasn't set up for it, but a lot of the gigs you get here are like pub gigs, but this particular place had a band room and like people did pay tickets, except there wasn't a door between the band room and like the rest of the bar where people were like watching football. And so while I was performing my very like soft acoustic folk music, you're also hearing like men screaming and like, yeah, watching football, which is, I guess, just not set up for intimacy as much as Singapore, I think.
So do you think that maybe because, you know, it's music and like creative activity in Melbourne is so abundant that maybe it takes a little bit of the wonder in discovering new things?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I remember like back when I was in Singapore, you know, it's like if you found a gig or like, you know, and or like some kind of event, you know, and like everyone in town was there, like it felt special to kind of be part of that, you know. So I guess like being in a bigger scene in Melbourne sort of maybe, it takes a little bit of that wonder and excitement out of finding new things.
Precisely. Like there's not as much novelty because it is so scarce in Singapore. Like in Singapore, like, you know, like we would be at like every gig or every other gig and like, you would see the same few people and you would get to know people that way. Whereas here, I actually haven't been to many gigs because there are so many. And to quality check and find the gigs that are actually worth going are like, it's kind of finding a diamond in the, what's the saying?
I don't actually know what, needle in a haystack?
Finding a needle in a haystack.
Is that
it?
I don't know. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the correct phrase, but it makes sense.
With needle in a haystack.
However, being a queer musician, do you feel like maybe you're able to express yourself a little bit more openly in Melbourne than, say, back in Singapore?
Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, I think in Singapore, because I was a queer artist, or at least the people who are queer know that I'm queer, and I would look in the audience and I would see other queer people, but because they knew that I was a queer artist. Whereas here, it is so normal to be queer, and so I'm just showing up as a queer person, and the audience is actually just normal people, every other person, because it's actually not that special to be queer. It's like, it's truly like two different sides of a coin. And they both have their like positives and negatives, I guess.
So touching on that, what were your experiences like growing up in Singapore as a queer person and both finding and expressing your identity in that environment?
I don't know. I think the friends I made very accidentally just happened to be like queer as well. So I think when I was coming out specifically, it wasn't like I knew that the friends around me were queer. And so it wasn't that big a deal, but I guess like home life and stigma from the outside world, like, is a different story. I don't know. I guess I don't necessarily know how to answer that question because I don't know any different. Like, the people I know are the people I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Would you say that you like met most of your, did it being like in that environment make it easier for you to find like other queer musicians in Singapore, especially because, you know, I guess maybe because the scene is a lot smaller, you know, maybe queer musicians are a little bit more, you know.
Yeah. Yes and yes and no. I don't know. I guess one thing about being queer is that you just, the friends you make, a lot of the friends you make just happen to be queer. Or at least that's a very common, like, experience. And so it's not so much that I was, well, by the time I was, like, in the scene and making music, I wasn't intentionally looking for other queer artists. I think I just, the people I gravitated to in the scene just happened to be queer. And I think we, none of us were that open about it when we first entered the scene, and it was really only much later when we had grown into ourselves. But at that point, we already had each other. Yeah.
Right. So, reshifting the focus to your own artistry, what can you tell us? Yeah. Can you tell us about your own songwriting journey and how you started doing music?
So I grew up in a pretty, like, artistic and musical family. And so I feel like that was already in my blood and around me in the household that I grew up in. I grew up loving to write little stories and sing, and I used to write these, like, little books and write poetry, I guess. And it would be about mundane things. Like, I mean, I remember the first song that I ever wrote was a cappella. I was, like, 8, and it was called School Sucks. And so, like, you write what you know, I guess. And I guess my... it was just something I couldn't help but do. And I, in the beginning years of my, like, actually seeing myself as a songwriter, so maybe like my late teens, I wrote for catharsis, and like I didn't really have a practice of writing. I would just, whenever I felt like I was bursting at the seams with something to say, I would write it. And a lot of the times it was very emotional, and nothing wrong with emotional, but none of it were like really formed thoughts. It was just me babbling almost. But that's special, and there's a space for that as well. But then I think when the pandemic came, I like really wanted to make a practice out of writing. And so I would write like every morning. And I think I just very intentionally put songwriting as like a practice in my life. And where I am with it right now is very much like, I believe that we don't have to be always writing. I think on some level we are always writing if we're artists and we're living like artists. It's very much about collecting stories, collecting information, collecting words, experiences. And so I think it's either I'm in a stage where I'm like writing constantly, or I'm in a stage of living where I'm just collecting stories. And I think that's where I am right now, because I've been releasing music for the past few years, and being here in Melbourne and sort of starting again, it's very much, I don't know what I don't know, and I'm letting the stories unfold, and I will eventually write about things, you know, things that I'm experiencing right now. Yeah.
Yeah, because you mentioned, you know, I think you used the word babbling earlier, but I think the way that I would describe your music is it's more like biographical or narrative, you know, than you know, music that fits into a traditional genre format, which I think, you know, ties into what you said earlier about how, you know, you started just by, writing acapellas of stories that you had in your mind. How else would you describe your music in your own words, like your stylistic influences, or, you know, maybe the sound that you're going for?
I don't know about a sound that I'm going for. I think whatever comes out. I do listen to a lot of like sad indie folk acoustic guitar type music, but I vary. Like, I listen to other stuff. But I think my music is very anecdotal. It's very, I think I describe it sort of like me trying to document a moment and a feeling in my own life. And because, you know, like, the more specific it is, the more universal it is on a lot of levels. And so I always try and tap into something real and, like, yeah, so anecdotal, and which is why I think it is so important for me to go live my life and not, like, stick myself in a cabin in the woods to write. I'm so, like, over that, like, idea that we have to do that to make good art. I think these days my writing is changing. I'm playing a lot more with metaphor. I haven't always done that. I haven't always, like, known how to do that. And I still don't, but it's like, I think I realize, like, oh, everything is just play. And trying to come up with metaphor is just, like, play. but yeah, anecdotal, that is the word I would use.
Yeah. So even though you said that you wouldn't really describe your music as being, like, you know, a particular sound or genre or anything, yeah, are there any musicians that you listen to that do, like, influence your sound or inspire you to write?
I really love Christian Lee Hudson. I saw him in Melbourne, like, when I visited for the first time, which was, like, last year. Christian Lee Hudson, I think, is probably the closest to how I write, and I, like, love it. I love Leith Ross. Leith Ross is so special to me. I really love C. Rose. He's just so good. Phoebe Bridgers, Boy Genius, like, Lucy Dacus. All people who I think don't really coat too much in, like, flowery words or, like, metaphor. It's very much like, this is what happened and this is how I feel about it. Yeah.
And how about some musicians back in Singapore who you've worked with along your journey?
I work a lot with Tim Dakota, who he makes brilliant, like, R&B, like, soul, and just good vibey music, fun and, like, free. He's produced most, if not all, my tracks. And we just have such a good relationship and good working relationship. And so I think the parts of me that are very influenced by R&B, he helps to bring those out. I think if you knew Tim and you knew me, like, musically, you would maybe wonder how they're a match. But actually, like, he gets me so well and more, and so I can, like, expand. Some of my favorite Singapore artists are, like, Wish, Cesari. I really love, like, my friends. I think Kai is one of the best, like, songwriters ever. Just, like, I'm very, very influenced by my friends. I listen to a lot of my friends' music, and it helps that we all make quite different music. Yeah.
Also, I understand that music isn't the only creative form that you are involved in. You've also had quite a bit of experience doing filmmaking, right?
So I did.
How did you get into that?
5 years. I, as a teenager, was a big vlogger. and I, like, when I graduated secondary school, the only course that was mildly interesting to me and that I could actually like apply for was digital audio and visual production in ITE, which I think is now not a thing anymore. But that's, I mean, it's basically film. And so I went to ITE to do film for 2 years. And then I went to LaSalle to do broadcast media, which is film.
Shout out to LaSalle.
Like 3 years. No, yeah. Shout out LaSalle. Yeah. So all in all, did film for like 5 years. But I think, like, I mean, I love it, but I think it is more of a hobby for me than it is like something I want to do for a living. But definitely like big creative outlet for me. Like, big fan of like documentarian type. What am I saying? Big fan of like documentary type films, and like I have used film as an outlet to like, I guess, document my life and my own like growth.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up actually, because you do quite a bit of journaling on your YouTube channel, you know, which is you know, sort of in like a cinematic format, if you will. Maybe not cinematic, I don't know if that's the right word, but you do incorporate a bit of filmmaking into your own, like, you know, your YouTube channel, like your marketing as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, it has been helpful. Like, I do use those like skills, I guess, when working on my music. I have made like most of my music videos and like visualizers, and it's just me and like usually my friend Gene Seizure, shout out Gene Seizure, we'll like film stuff together, and like we totally get each other's like film style. So yeah, very helpful to have friends like that. I like last year I knew that it would be my last year in Singapore, and so I documented every single month, along with like I would have a snippet of a song that I written that month, along with footage from that month and a voiceover of like how I felt about the month. Yeah, so I think I use it in a pretty self-serving, not necessarily like bad selfish way, but just in a human, I'm documenting my life way.
Yeah. So we're going to head into a quick break in a minute, but before we do that, you dropped an EP last year called House Parties.
I did.
Which was also accompanied by two real life house parties that you threw around the time of the launch. Would you like to tell us about the EP and what it was about?
Yeah, so House Parties, it's three songs that basically follow a storyline. They were written like over the span of 3 years and not necessarily knowing that they would be put together. But it basically follows a protagonist. You can say it's me, around for a night. And it first song, Orion's Apartment, starts off like at a New Year's Eve party. The second song, Party Trick, is me at this party having a panic attack and then wanting to leave. And then the third one is like the cab ride home. And so it's one whole night, and it's every feeling you can ever imagine. Every feeling you can ever imagine in one EP. But yeah, I did put on like some themed shows for it. It was, I guess, officially two themed parties, but actually it was four, because the first one, which was maybe exactly a year ago, was at my house, and it was like an actual house party, and I invited like friends. And then the second one was a Halloween party, and people came and dressed up, and it was really fun. And then a slumber party, and everyone dressed down. I wore like a Victorian nightgown. And then the last one, aptly in December, I called a farewell party, and that was Esplanade had hired me to do a show, and I was like, I should just call this one farewell party because it's the last, if not one of the last shows that I'm going to do in Singapore. And so, yeah, kind of a way to end off a chapter.
It's like a farewell note to Singapore as well.
Yeah.
So we are going to play a track from that EP and come back to you guys real shortly. This next song is called Party Trick from the 2023 EP House Parties by Erica. Hope you guys enjoy. And And that was Party Trick from the EP House Parties by Erica. So, AJ, what can you tell us about that track?
That track, I started writing it in my LaSalle classroom. I don't remember. I like wrote this like maybe 4 years ago, actually.
Recording in progress.
Sorry about that. Continue.
No worries. I wrote it about, it's not necessarily something that has happened, but it's something that I feel like definitely could happen. And I guess I pulled it from experiences of being dissociated at parties and social gatherings, and also like some of my biggest breakdowns. But this is not, it is not a one, is not one situation that I'm writing about.
Like an accumulation of different experiences.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you have any other releases in the works at the moment that you might want to tell us about, or anything you're working on in general?
I'm not currently working on any releases. Okay, well, I sort of was re-recording something for it to be a duet before I left Singapore with Tim Dakota, and like I guess mystery person, and I don't know when that will be out, and it'll probably be a long time from now. I'm just in a collecting stories and a writing place in my life. Like, I want to do more co-writes, and I want to just meet people and live for a second. I think I just want to get a bit out of that, like, need for releasing stuff, because I think I got a bit of that out of my system already, so I'm just being human for a second. But it's interesting because...
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, sorry. My writing style is changing, and the topics I'm writing about are changing because I'm getting older. And so it's interesting to see. And I'm waiting for the right story to come together, because I very much see things in compilations, like EPs or albums, as opposed to just singles. Waiting for the right story to align.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, it'll be quite interesting to hear you put out a duet with Tim Dakota, because as you said, you know, he's produced pretty much the majority of your stuff, you know, throughout your musical journey, but you don't really have a lot of songs, you know, with him, right?
Yeah.
So this will be a first if, you know, when that happens.
That song that I said I was re-recording, Tim was also just producing it. He's not on the track. But we were writing something, and then in true like ADHD fashion, we both just like got distracted and didn't continue it. But I think, like, also no rush, because we'll be in each other's lives for a long time. We're bound to like make something, I'm sure. That'll be interesting. Definitely. I think he brings out a different side of my voice as well.
All right. And once again, we'll be looking forward to hearing that. Before we wrap things up, is there anybody from Singapore, Melbourne, or anywhere else in the world that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Oh, I would like to give a shout out to Ridwan Hamza. He plays guitar, he produces, he writes. He was another big collaborator on the House Parties EP. And we played like all the shows together. And just a brilliant, beautiful mind. And always has something like cooking, I think. He's like so kind and makes great stuff. So I think just like look out for when he has something in the works. Yeah, red one.
And just one more thing. What does the future look like for you? You know, aside from potential releases.
Oh my God. I have no idea. I think I mentioned before, I'm still like collecting these stories. And because I'm so new to Melbourne, like all the things I feel like I know for sure are like actually quite fleeting, because I'm like 25 in this city that I've not known for very long. In like new friendships and like new relationships and like everything is new and sort of finding itself. And so I don't really know what the future looks like, and I'm excited to find out.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.